These past few weeks, we have been studying the character trait of integrity. And we learned that integrity involves being true to our godly principles, regardless of the pressure that is brought to bear upon us. We learned that true believers give God all the credit for what is accomplished in their lives. And then last week we learned two facts about integrity. One, that there is a cost to maintaining our integrity. And also we learned that who we are and how deep is our integrity sometimes is revealed more clearly in the fire. And this week we shall review another aspect of integrity, and that is dependence upon God. Our text is Daniel chapter 4, as Daniel has been the text for all of our sermons on integrity, and I shall read certain sections of that chapter as we proceed with the message. And we ask that God may add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. If you've read chapter 4, if you're looking at it now, you will see that King Nebuchadnezzar, is the author of chapter 4. The story concerning him is in his own words, and yet Daniel the prophet was so inspired by this story that he included it in the sacred word of God and made it a part of his record, and a marvelous part it is. How often have you heard someone say, "I have attained my accomplishments through hard work and lucky breaks"? This was the boast of King Nebuchadnezzar. And most all success stories are attributed to the efforts of the men and women who achieved that success by the men and women themselves. And most of us believe that that is true, that if we get the break and we work hard enough, I can accomplish anything. But there is a different perspective which is seldom mentioned. It is the missing piece of the puzzle, and that piece is people cannot succeed without God. A person of integrity recognizes this fact and acts accordingly. So here we are in the fourth chapter of the book of Daniel. You recall Nebuchadnezzar had a dream in chapter 2, which he had Daniel interpret. And now he has had another dream. And once again, the sorcerers, enchanters, and magicians in his kingdom failed to interpret the dream. So the king summons old trustworthy Daniel and brings him forth and says, "I want you to interpret this dream." And Daniel was truly terrified because this dream involved the king himself. And in verses 24 and 25 of chapter 4, Daniel warns Nebuchadnezzar. If you want to turn to chapter 4, verses 24 and 25, as I read Daniel's warning. "This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree the Most High has issued against my lord, the king. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes." Can you imagine Daniel having to tell Nebuchadnezzar, who was the most powerful human on this earth at that time, that he was going to live like a wild animal for 7 years? In essence, he would be out of his mind. And Daniel had to tell him this. And he must have believed that Nebuchadnezzar would heed the warning this time. He had had many opportunities to do so in the past and to believe and trust in God Almighty. And for a brief time, it seemed as though he had changed. Remember in chapter 1, Nebuchadnezzar had seen the Lord work in Daniel's life through the Lord's diet. And he had learned that the Lord's way was better. In chapter 2, he had had his future revealed by Daniel interpreting the dream. And he briefly acknowledged, after Daniel interpreted his dream, that the Lord was God of gods. And then in chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar had seen a glorious miracle in the fiery furnace when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had walked in that furnace or been thrown in that furnace and walked out unscathed, untouched, not a burn on them, and the Lord had appeared in the midst of the flames. But unfortunately, Nebuchadnezzar is like so many of us, or we are so much like Nebuchadnezzar. He was still consumed with himself and his works. God would afford him one more chance to repent and acknowledge God as the Lord of Lords. So Nebuchadnezzar was warned by God. The punishment was declared, and now it was up to Nebuchadnezzar to make his choice. I'm sure all of us at one time or another have stood and put our hands on our hips and declared, "Look what I have accomplished." You may recall from this pulpit not too long ago, I mentioned to you the temptation was great for a pastor to take credit for any accomplishments of God's church. And I have to constantly pray and ask the Lord for strength to not to do that. But we stand up and we say, "Look what I have accomplished." We tend to take credit for our lives, our accomplishment, and our successes. And at opportune moments, we forget what God has done. Is there a price for such behavior? Yes. Is there a price for making is there a risk for taking such behavior? Yes. Nebuchadnezzar took the credit and assumed the risk. Let's look at verses 28 through 30. Verses 28 through 30. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, "Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" This was not so much a question as it was a boast. Nebuchadnezzar was ignoring all the dreams and the visions and the power which God had already revealed to him with the help of Daniel. He was declaring success and prosperity and leaving God out of the equation. And this certainly was a demonstration of pride at its worst. But pride is nothing new today, obviously. And it was nothing new in King Nebuchadnezzar's time. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 8, Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands and his laws and his decrees that I am giving you this day. This is Moses speaking to the Israelites as they were coming out of the desert. Otherwise, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands has produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant. It's God. It's not us. I don't care how smart Donald Trump thinks he is in dealing in real estate, or how Bill Gates, how smart he thinks he is with his billions of dollars. Were it not for God, they would have nothing. God knows that our very nature is pride, and he knows we take credit for our success. And when it comes to failure, we're quick to point that finger, to blame others, to find fault with someone else. And as Nebuchadnezzar was speaking these words, look what my hand has done, he immediately began to pay the price. God brought the judgment into Nebuchadnezzar's life, which he had Daniel warn him about. As he was speaking these words of conceit and pride, he was immediately struck. He was confused. He was bewildered. He was driven from the people, and he lived on the grass like animals. Verse 33 tells us that immediately what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. Immediately is right after he boasted about his majesty and his royal palace and his success. Immediately what had been said, what Daniel had predicted, was fulfilled. He was driven away from the people and ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. For 7 years, not 7 months, not 7 days, not 7 weeks, for 7 years, as Daniel had prophesied when he interpreted the dream, Nebuchadnezzar lived in this state. He certainly was by all human standards humbled. This once proud and mighty king was at the mercy of God Almighty. And the truth is, Nebuchadnezzar was at God's mercy all along. It wasn't just at this particular point in his life. At any time, God could have taken away from him the kingdom, taken away from him the crown, taken away from him the palace, taken away from him the mighty armies which had conquered all the known world. Only by God's power did he sit on the throne. Only by God's power had he been made king of all nations. But the problem was, as it is with so many of us, Nebuchadnezzar was unwilling to recognize these facts and to humble himself before God. He declared his independence from God. In earlier part of this book, he boasted that God would bow down to him. He wanted the credit. And yet in doing so, he ran the risk of the judgment of God, and such judgment finally came. And friends, we run that risk every day. We are just flirting with disaster if we don't believe that we are dependent upon God, if we don't believe we need Him, if we don't believe that He is the Lord and Savior, if we don't believe that only by faith in Him can we receive eternal life, then we are flirting with the prospect of God's judgment arriving at our doorstep. And then it'll be too late. Well, does God view pride the same today as He did then? Of course He does. His Word says in Proverbs 3:34 and James 4:6, both of these teach us that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Pride will always be met with opposition from God. Pride keeps us from acknowledging our need for God and the need for a Savior. We don't need that. I don't need to go to church. I'm a good person. I can worship God at home. I don't need to have a communion with other believers. Or either, I don't need God. I've heard people say that in the last year, people that I've talked to, and it just breaks my heart. It just breaks my heart to know what awaits them. And they're not stupid people, but they will not accept what God's words tells us. Daniel had given Nebuchadnezzar the prescription to cure his pride in verse 27. Therefore, O king, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue. All Nebuchadnezzar had to do, all we have to do, is repent and acknowledge the Lord. And I'm sure Daniel thought, how much longer will this man rebel against God? Surely he knew God's might and His power. He had seen it firsthand in the last chapter that we studied, the fiery furnace. He had seen God's power, but unfortunately, he had not repented. But God, as He does with each and every one of us, gave Nebuchadnezzar a second chance. How many chances has He given us? I know He's given me thousands. And here in verse 34, Nebuchadnezzar says, at the end of that time, talking about the 7 years that he lived like an animal, at the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified Him who lives forever. God gave Nebuchadnezzar, as He does us, the opportunity to profess his faith in Him as Lord. And we are instructed that the king's sanity was restored. This wasn't by some magic formula. This wasn't by chance. God cleared Nebuchadnezzar's mind so he could acknowledge and profess God as Lord of all. Nebuchadnezzar finally realized that God is God, and he, Nebuchadnezzar, is not God. This finally sunk into him, and the king praised him. And that praise is almost like an autobiographical sketch of God in verses 34 and 35. Listen closely. His, talking about God, this is what Nebuchadnezzar is saying. His, God's dominion, is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand and say to him, what have you done? God answers to no one. And finally, Nebuchadnezzar realized that and realized that God was God and he was not God. And it is a testament to God who reigns. When the king exalted the Lord, all was restored. His sanity, his kingdom. He was back ruling on the throne. And again in verse 37, Nebuchadnezzar speaks. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the king in heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. Nebuchadnezzar finally had the light bulb turn on. Finally, he realized he was dependent upon God. He may be an earthly king who rules over many nations. He may have wealth untold and fame. He may have powerful armies, but he finally realized that all his power, all his wealth, all of his might, all of his fame were the result of God's mercy and his grace. The last piece of the puzzle was in place. There is no success apart from God. And the question this morning is, are we ready to recognize and receive the Lord this morning? Are you ready? If you have not accepted him as your Lord and Savior, as these young people have that were baptized this morning, please quit thinking that you can do it on your own. You may have good health now, prosperity, good job, wonderful family. You come to church on a regular basis. But if there is no salvation, then there's no heavenly destination. We must recognize and receive Jesus as Lord. And I don't want you to run the risk of eternal damnation. I want you to receive him today as we sing our invitation hymn number 275.